everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Money Matters with the Motleys podcast. This is your host, Dion Motley, CEO and co-founder of Motley Financial Solutions. And I am here today again with another special guest that we have on the podcast. This is an awesome man of God, another one of our BCI, Black Christian Influencer Fellows. And I'm excited to get into this conversation today because I am truly trusting God that you all are going to hear an awesome testimony about how this young man went about pursuing his purpose and following through with utilizing his God-given talents. But without further ado, I want to introduce to you all Jimmy Johnson, possibly my cousin from, you know, a different side of the family because my maiden name is Johnson. So could possibly be my cousin. But anyway, we're family here. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. So Jimmy Johnson from It's Jimmy on TV is here with us today. So Jimmy, go ahead and introduce yourself to our audience. Let them know who you are, what you do, and where they can find you.
Yeah. So thanks, cousin, for having me on the podcast. For everyone listening, I'm Jimmy Johnson. I am the host of the Staying the Course podcast, but I'm also a journalist and consider myself to be a spiritual leader. You know, I'm really passionate about inspiring people to go after their God-given purpose and to make a difference on this earth. And that's a lot that I share about. That's what I share about on, you know, the Staying the Course podcast, you know, interviewing guests like Dion and Prentice, sharing their stories, just hoping to encourage people. Because I remember, having like an identity crisis, you know, when making a transition once in my career. And I know a lot of people sometimes, you know, feel like they're tied to what they do, but that's not really who they are. And so I just hope to, like, you know, bridge that gap for people and to allow them to really see who God calls them to be.
I love that you just said that people are tied to what they do, but it's not who they are. And before we got on today, I was thinking earlier about what it looks like when people are called into their purpose. And I was thinking about the passage in the Bible that talks about when Jesus went to go get fishermen. And he was literally like, you know, come follow me. They already had another profession. They were already in the middle of doing something else, but it wasn't the ordained path that God had already put into place for them or called for them to do. And so oftentimes when I'm talking with people about them pursuing their purpose and their passion, they're always in the middle of doing something else. Like no one is necessarily sitting there twiddling, you know, their thumbs. They may have been in pursuit of higher education, or in my case, may have worked in corporate America, you know, for 25 years before stepping down. You know, there's always something. And I believe that whatever profession per se that you fall into, there's always skills and things that you pick up along the way that aid to ultimately what your purpose is. And so if you could share with us, when you were in pursuit of your passion and your purpose, you know, essentially what you're doing now, where were you at that moment when you realized like, oh, wait, I was called and meant to do something else?
Well, I know I always was called to, you know, to work in media, to be on television. I knew that as a, you know, a young boy, I would sit in front of the television and watch the news nonstop. I was just obsessed with, you know, all of the different stories. And so that was very simple. But, you know, when I got into my journalism career, because, you know, that's what I went to school for, you know, studied that for several years, you know, worked in the TV industry for 5 years and, you know, made my way to South Florida, which was a great market. But then I found myself within like year 4 or 5 of being in the industry where there was some conflicting things going on inside of me, where I felt like I was called to do more, but I was also called to do what I was doing. And I felt like God was like leading me to step outside of the boat, you know, to essentially just walk on water. And I didn't know what he was calling me to do. I just know I needed to step out of the boat. And it was a scary season because it was like 3 or 4 months before me and my wife got married. And so it was a decision that I made for myself, but it wasn't a decision that I actually consulted with my wife about. I told her that I wanted to leave, or my fiance at the time, that I wanted to leave, but I didn't really explicitly have that conversation about stepping out of the boat and what that would mean for us moving forward. And so I ultimately did it, had, you know, so much peace about it. But, you know, in the process, there were so many people, my wife, my mom, that were like, what are you doing? Like, you're like months away from getting married and you decide to quit your job or walk away from your job like this. And looking back on it, it was necessary. You know, it was difficult. It was hard, but it was necessary. And that led me to enter into full-time ministry. And I did that for, you know, about 2 years. You know, I served at an operations director at a multi-site church in South Florida and did some very meaningful work. And, you know, I have this big heart for the church, the local church, and seeing it grow and being a part of people's lives and seeing them being witnessed to in their life, being forever changed. And so I did that for 2 years, and, you know, that came to an end. But what I learned through that season from, you know, transitioning from journalism into ministry is that I really didn't need to leave journalism to do ministry. Where I messed up was there was ministry happening right in front of me. I had an opportunity to minister to my coworkers, to minister to the people in the community. But I felt that I had to be on in ministry in order to make that happen, when actually ministry was what I was supposed to be doing in addition to what I did as a career. And I had someone on my podcast, the very first interview of my podcast, and he basically said this, that your faith and your calling don't have to be mutually exclusive. They can coexist. And when he said that to me, it was like an aha moment. I felt like Tom Cruise on the Oprah Winfrey show. I wanted to jump up and down in my chair because I was like, wow, thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing that to me. Because really, what I did was probably a little fleshly, you know, like stepping outside of the boat with, you know, but I felt in the time that I made the right decision, and maybe it was the right decision because it allowed me to learn that, you know, what God was really calling me to do. So, you know, here I am, you know, several years later, and God, he's just so amazing. Like, he always brings things back full circle. And now I'm working my way back to doing what I once did. I have a big announcement to share in, you know, next couple of weeks or so. And I'm excited to share with people about the testimony and God's faithfulness of just really just reminding us what our purpose is. Like, he has a purpose for you and I. And, you know, so many people get caught up, oh, I want to be in ministry. I want to be in ministry. And that's great. There are people that are called to be exclusively in ministry. But there's also God's calling us to be in ministry in the world. That's on your job. That's in your neighborhood. That's at your kid's school. That's where the ministry needs to happen. And I think we learned a lot about that during COVID-19, where, you know, the church doors per se weren't necessarily closed, but people couldn't go in because of this, you know, virus. I mean, you know, and so it really made the church go outside of the doors into the highways and the byways and to compel people to come in. And I think that's what God wants for all of us as believers. You know, no matter what your career is, you are a disciple. You are called to chase the one. And, you know, when you chase the one and act in obedience to him, you're going to make a difference in someone's life.
Absolutely. That is so profound. And thank you so much for your transparency and sharing that, because it really is true. You know, when we were dealing with, you know, COVID and the pandemic in 2020, it really tested the church to see if we're really going to be the church, right?
Yeah.
You know, Jesus called for us to go out. That was the command, go out, right? And so I think oftentimes, because there's been this separation of, you know, church, state, secular, Christian, you know, it's always been like this line of division. And years ago, my former pastor said something so profound. And what he said was, You cannot forsake using the skills that you gain in your earthly jobs and not use them in the kingdom of God, right? Like whenever you are working, you're doing it as you're doing it unto the Lord. That is a job that he's given you as a resource in order for you to make a living. And you touched on something that resonated with me where you said that you missed opportunities because you felt like you needed to leave your profession in order to get into ministry. And I'm personally guilty of that. Like I was too afraid at some point in time to minister to the people that were around me. I could do it one-on-one if I had some type of rapport with the person, but there would be times where the Holy Spirit would be like, say this to that person. And I'd be like, I am not about to be that person on the job walking around here being the super saint, like, sorry, you know, and I felt so convicted. And, you know, there were times where I was like, okay, well, let me be just radical, you know, at this moment. And it would be a life-changing moment for that person. But because I was so caught up, and really it was pride, you know, not wanting to be embarrassed, not wanting to be the outcast, not wanting to, you know, feel out of place, you know, in the office, you know, amongst the staff, that, you know, really prevented me. But what ended up happening, me going on my journey of transition, it was literally like, okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm not going to hide and shy away from the fact that I'm a believer in Christ, that I'm a Christian, that, you know, there are certain values that I uphold. And when I finally did that, things shifted on the last job, you know, that I had. Like, they knew that I went to church. They knew that I read my Bible. They knew that I went into the prayer room because we had a prayer room at the job that I worked for because they were a Christian-based healthcare organization. They knew that when I went into the prayer room that I was actually praying, and we prayed before every business meeting, you know, that we had, and all of us took turns leading prayer. And so it was the first time that I was working where I felt comfortable enough just to be me, you know, and be who God called me to be. And even stepping down from that, you know, when God called me to move away from my job, there was still fear, right? Because then it became a different fear. It became like, well, Lord, will the world accept the message that you gave me? So I wanted to ask you about that when you were in your transition.
Can I quickly respond to that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it'll tie into, I'm sure, with the question that you're asking. On the other side of your obedience is someone's breakthrough. I'll say that one more time. On the other side of your obedience is someone's breakthrough. Mm-hmm. And so the moment that we're obedient to the call that God has placed on our lives is the moment that someone else is going to be able to experience the relationship that you and I have with him. And so it doesn't matter if your workplace is a place that accepts Christian talk, so to speak, you know, in the office, or there's a prayer room. God has called us to really intrude every place that we are in. Yeah. And so, you know, in this new position that, you know, I'm in, people call me the resident pastor, you know, in the office. And, you know, that's so funny because I've always longed for the opportunity to just be authentically myself, a child of the Most High God, in the workplace. And then there were other places, not when I was in ministry, that was just like a requirement, right? That was just who we were. My first two jobs were, it was like I was hiding it, you know, and, you know, the scripture does basically says that you don't take light and hide it under a cup. No, you're supposed to take light and light up the world. And so that's what we're called to do. And be unapologetic about your faith. Your faith will make room for you. And I can just think of, you know, a book I read by Devon Franklin where, you know, he's this big Hollywood executive and, you know, he decides that he wants to take this position, but he says, hey, before I take it, I have to tell you something. I Sabbath on Saturdays, right? And so like for most of us who are Christians and we have religious practices that we live by, like, you know, Good Friday or fasting or, you know, Passover for our Jewish friends. You know, if you come into the door when, you know, applying for a job or accepting a position, letting people know where you stand, God will make room for you. They will honor that. And Devon Franklin, he said, I Sabbath and I can't work on such and such a day. And he's like, if that's something that I have to do, then I'm going to have to decline this position. Wow. And so what I just simply want to share is, you know, just be who God has called you to be. And if that place can't accept you for who you are, then that's not the place God has ordained you to be.
I totally agree. I totally agree. And having to learn that. And when you're able to walk in your authenticity, and my pastor talks about this all the time, we need more authentic people. We need more authentic influencers. And, you know, to stop hiding and sugarcoating really who we are, because that means that we are behaving contrary to the word of God. But because he says, do not copy the customs or the behavior of this world. And, you know, we're taught to hide and feel ashamed, you know, for our faith. And really, God is calling us to be radical. Jesus was radical, even the pursuit of his ministry. He was the one that they were like, who is this? like, what is, he's breaking every single, you know, rule, because he's like, well, I'm not under that authority. And so I love the fact that you're sharing that and really inspiring people, even me, just to continue to be, you know, authentic. You know, with what we do in the financial industry, there's so many different opinions and so many different rules of, you know, how you should manage your finances and what's better for you to build credit, build wealth, and, you know, all these different things. And, you know, what God gave us when he called us to the ministry, he said, you are an access point. Right. So that doesn't mean that I have to aspire to be this, you know, guru. I'm aspiring to be who God called me to be. If I'm that access point, then be that point of access for people to come back into trust with God. Teach the biblical principles about what he says, managing finances. Right. Because essentially, he's the source. Right. I don't need to pray to the universe. I don't need to attract money into my life through the law of attraction. No, I'm connected to the source whom all blessings flow from. Right. And so the same thing happens with professions. And, you know, even though we are kind of like in this, I'll call it popular culture, where it seems like everyone is becoming entrepreneurs and everyone is starting businesses and becoming influencers, to me, there's still a difference between someone who is just doing entrepreneurship versus doing business with God, if that makes any sense, like doing ministry with God, walking in your purpose, walking in your calling. And so with your profession, your background in media, broadcasting, when it comes to like what you do versus what you were, I'll say educated to do, you know, through your studies and all of that, what was the solution that you filled or solved, or the gap that you filled between what the typical media world would do versus what God called you to do?
Yeah, it's very simple, man. Like, you know, for anyone who's worked in television, it's a great industry, but it can also sometimes be a very dark industry. And what I mean by that, you cover a lot of stories, you know, death, destruction, you know, everything in between. And so when you cover stories like that on a day-to-day basis, sometimes your thoughts can get dark, you know? And so I found myself, you know, in South Florida when I was working there. I mean, if you know anything about Florida news, it's crazy, you know? And so we would cover everything. And, you know, I started getting to a point where, you know, I was not sensitive to the hearts of people. And, you know, there's shootings all the time. You know, there's things happening where people are, you know, getting killed. And it's just like another story. And to me, that like, that was a place that, you know, like my wife kind of revealed it to me. She was like, man, like really, news has really got you to be cold. And I was like, man, that's just not the heart of God. And so, you know, what's been super crucial in me breaking through that mold that was created before me is just making sure that I keep God at the center of my life. That means like before I do anything, I put God first, you know, whether it's praying, it's reading my Bible or devotional. Like you have to put in the good things first, because if not, if you allow, you know, you pick up your phone the first thing in the morning and you go to the headlines, you're not making any room for God to speak to you, to reveal things to you, to give you discernment in the way that you should go. And then also just working in the news industry, like I recall, like, hey, when you would hang out with your coworkers, guess where you're hanging out? The bar. You know, let's go to the club or something, something to grab drinks.
Yep.
And I'm like, there has to be a better way. There has to be something more than just grabbing drinks and discussing how depressing our life is because we're so stressed out about the news that we're covering.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized, it's important, while it's important to obviously go into the world and compel people to come in, you know, to the local church and to have a relationship with God, it's also to surround yourself with like-minded people. Because what I first did when I moved to South Florida, I didn't know anyone. So what I did is I surrounded myself with work people. And the work people that I surrounded myself with, while good at heart and have great intentions and great people, not all of them were Christ followers. Yeah. So then you start to take on the mold of them instead of what God has called you to be. And so once I started surrounding myself around church people, you know, men and women of God, you know, began to get involved in small groups and serving, I started to see a shift in my life. And I was like, this is the life that God has called me to. And I need to show those people that I'm working with every single day that there is more. There is more. There is, you know,
yeah,
you know, there's more than this darkness that we're seeing in the world. And so that's what I began to do differently. And just, you know, every day realizing that I have an opportunity to make a difference in someone's life. And I even found myself the other day in the office, you know, sometimes you get frustrated and you're like, man, this is not working out. And I'm like, no, Jimmy, we have to fix that thinking, because when you start to speak those things, you're speaking that into your coworkers. And that's not what you want to, you know, put out to the community, that you're trying to show them you have to be different. You know, I'm held to a much higher standard,
yeah,
than someone who doesn't know God. And so, you know, I know that's a lot to take on, but it's what God has ordained for us to do.
Yeah, but, you know, His grace is sufficient, and He gives us the grace to, you know, just do that. And going back to, you know, the fact that He's already ordained our footsteps, you know, and so nothing, I believe, happens by happenstance. It's a linear path, so to speak, even though there's mountains and valleys, but God always has a plan of action. And so I love the fact that you went back to serving, because that's something for me personally that is so critical to my walk with Christ, to my relationship, you know, with people. There was a period where we were transitioning from our former ministry to our current ministry. And it was a necessary process for me to sit down so that God could heal some things and restore me in different ways. But I was just like, I have to serve. I have to continue to serve. And not because I felt like, oh, I needed to do the work. It was like, no, I needed to be connected to the kingdom. And I am the type of person, you know, where I feel like I have to be using my gifting. Like, I can't just sit on it. It's too much just to sit on it. It's more painful to me to sit on it than to actually get out and do the work, whatever my fear may be. Like, I always feel better after I have helped, served, you know, poured out, you know, into someone. And I mean, it's kind of funny because I'm an introvert also, but but I'm the type of person that, like, I need to have that aspect of my walk with Christ. And so I love the fact that you went back to serving and to say, like, there is, you know, something more than just to go through the run of the mill type stuff of go to work, go out with your coworkers, have a couple of drinks, sit at home over the weekend, or clean your house, you know, go to church on Sunday, and then, you know, back at the same routine again. Because, you know, God said that He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, you know? And so it's like, what does that abundance look like for you? So I want to talk a little bit about what you do, because I know the Stay in the Course podcast is, you know, really shaped around telling the stories of people who, you know, are pursuing their passions. They are inspiring people, motivating others. So talk a little bit about the development of that and, you know, the vision really that God had given you and how you went about pursuing it.
Yeah. So, you know, I always wanted to start a podcast when I was in TV. And, you know, when you're working in television, usually there's contracts about you, what you can do, what you can't do. And at that time, I just wasn't able to do it. And so when I stepped away from news the first time, I was like, here's my opportunity. But it wasn't until almost two years after leaving news that I finally, you know, past the fear of going out there and making it happen. And really, it was because I'm a perfectionist. And, you know, when I put my name on something, I want it to be at the highest standard. And so God really had to deal with me in the sense that he says, hey, don't perfect it, just produce it. Don't perfect it, just produce it. And so, you know, when I first started, I wanted to make sure it was top of the line. So I had to make sure it was in the studio, you know, and had an engineer, like, you know, mixing the sound. And then I graduated to a podcast studio where I, you know, was paying someone to record the video and make sure the lighting and all of that was good. And then the pandemic hit, and then everybody was forced to do things on Zoom. Yeah. And so, you know, now I have this $150 microphone, but in the beginning I was spending, you know, $200. I spent $200 and some on microphones and other equipment, but God is like, you don't need that to actually, you know, effectively do what I'm calling you to do. And so I think a lot of times people feel like they have to have the top of the line brand, or they have to have everything to start what God has put on their heart to do, whether that's a business, a podcast, or whatever it looks like for you. God says, just put one foot forward and then I'll provide the rest. And so, you know, it has really taught me just like how to do things differently, whether it's a podcast, business, like just get started, man. God, if it's God, he will make it happen. And then also just what I learned, you know, in the process of, you know, developing this podcast and why I started it is just because, like I told you in the beginning, like I went through like this identity crisis, almost like a midlife crisis or something of the sorts where like I was like, who am I? Who is Jimmy? You know, I love journalism and that was what I did as a career, but like, who is Jimmy? And you know, that was a season that was purposeful. And, you know, I interviewed so many different people and everyone's story is different. And I learned so much because, you know, everyone has some shortcomings, some successes, but there's something that we can take away from everyone's story, their journey. Absolutely. And so that's why I started the podcast, is because really I was like so intrigued by people's stories. And I was like, what can I take from their story that I could apply in my life? And I was like, well, if I'm taking stuff from it, then I'm sure other people are going to be able to take, you know, just bits and pieces from this interview, this conversation, this story to make a difference in their life. So, you know, I've been on this journey for almost 2 years now, and I've had resistance, you know, in past jobs where people are like, yeah, I love you. I think you should do this podcast. And then when you do it, it's like they're looking at you sideways, like they don't really want you to do the podcast. But whatever God has, you know, put on your heart to do, man, do it. And, you know, there may be some resistance, some people who give you some crazy eyes. But believe it or not, you know, God has, you know, a purpose for whatever you're going to do. And, you know, this podcast is what actually helped land the new role that I'm walking into. And so if I wasn't obedient and if I didn't stay the course and do what God, you know, put on my heart to do, then I wouldn't be at this place.
Yeah. I love that. So there are three things that my pastor talks about when you're in pursuit of your purpose. There's three things that will always be present if it's God ordained. And here's how you know that it's God ordained. And he calls it PPC. The first thing is that you will have peace about it. Even though you might be afraid, even though you may be unsure, there's a sense of peace that comes over you, and peace with you walking into whatever God has called you to do. The second thing is provision. So God will always provide. And you just said that, like, it didn't matter. You didn't need all of these expensive microphones and equipment because essentially God knew that the pandemic was going to happen and you ended up with your $150 mic and you're killing the game with your podcast, right? And then the third thing that he talks about is community. Even though you have haters, even though you have, you know, people that are against you, and like you said, offering resistance, there's still going to be a sense of community of people that will get into the fight with you and that will labor, you know, with you when you start walking in that. And you just said that it led to you having new opportunities. And prior to us even starting the podcast, you and I were talking, you know, about some of this and, you know, how things were being shaped. You have a whole team, you know, behind you and, you know, not just the support of, you know, your family and your beautiful wife, but you have a team of people that are behind you. And so would you say that my pastor is pretty accurate? I mean, the man of God preaches a good word, but would you say that the PPC, the Peace, Provision, and Community, is present in where you are right now and during your transition?
I would say, you know, absolutely yes. But then I would make a, you know, an amendment. Sometimes you don't necessarily have to have peace to do what God is calling you to do. Okay. And here's why I say that. Because initially God may tell you to do something, but the first time you didn't hear what he said. So here you are praying to God the second time around after he already clearly told you, Dion, Jimmy, get out of the boat. You're saying, God, I need you to direct my path. Tell me what I should do. And God's like, did you not hear me the first time I told you to get out the boat?
You're about to preach a word.
And so, you know, this the second time you're like, man, I don't have peace about this. Or I'm like, I'm in fear. You know, I don't know what to do. But God already gave you, you know, the confirmation to move forward. And so, you know, sometimes there are seasons in our lives where we don't hear God. So in those seasons, do you just sit still? Or do you trust that no matter what decision you make, God can always redirect your path? And so for me, there was a season during the pandemic where I was in my word. You know, I was doing scriptures of the day. I was podcasting. You know, I was involved in the ministry. I was doing everything where I didn't hear from God. Wow. And I had to make some decisions. And I had to trust that the decisions that I was going to make, that I was making, God was going to redirect my path if they weren't the right decisions. So, yes, your pastor is right. We should have peace. Mm-hmm. We should have provision, mm-hmm. and then we should have community. But sometimes we need to be just still enough to actually hear the voice of God. So often we're so busy, we want to get to what's next and not, you know, really hear from God. And I'll give you a perfect example. Yesterday, and this may be relevant or not irrelevant, and you tell me afterwards, but it's crazy to me how God speaks to me. My wife's out of town, I'm home, there's trash to take out. And so here I am, I'm going to take the trash out, and it's about 20 to 30, you know, feet away from my apartment. So I go down the hall and into the trash room, and there's four trash bags on the ground. And then there's a sign on the trash chute that says, hey, the trash chute, for whatever reason, is out of, you know, commission, we're working to fix it. But in the meantime, bring your trash to the third floor. And me, I was like, I'm not bringing my trash to the third floor. You guys need to figure this out. Immediately, the Holy Spirit, it was immediately convicting me as like, nah, bro, you about to take this trash to the third floor and be obedient and go ahead and do that. And I was like, all right. So I'm going down the stairs. I take it down, drop it off. And then I go back upstairs and I feel the Holy Spirit again. Like, there's four trash bags that you left behind that I need you to go grab and go and put down. And, you know, I'm saying that's a funny story because God speaks to me like this all the time. But it was just really about being obedient to the voice of God. And why did God want me to take this trash downstairs? It's because leaders go first. And as Christians, we're leaders. And he wants us to do what the world is not going to do. So had I left those trash bags there, guess what would have happened? More people would have put their trash there. the person who's responsible for maintaining the building would have had more on their plate. That's really not their responsibility to throw trash in away for people. And so he removed the trash so that someone else wouldn't be responsible for doing it. And sometimes we have to do things that we don't want to do. And I just think we just have to always be willing to hear from God. Also, in the gym the other day, you know, it's the Easter weekend. We're recording this.
Yeah.
And he told me to go and tell this person, I'm new in the area where I'm living. He told me to tell this person, introduce yourself and invite them to church. This guy's working out. And I'm like, this man in the middle of squats, I'm not about to invite him to church. Do it, Jimmy. Do it. You know? And so I'm like, hey, man, this is a little awkward for me. And I'm sorry to interrupt you in the middle of your workout, but I just feel like God is leading me to invite you to church. Come to find out, the guy's in ministry. And so I don't really need to invite him to church, but it was maybe just God trying to connect me with another, Christian leader. But then afterwards, he sent me a text. He was like, Jimmy, man, I'm so thankful for you, being obedient to the voice of God and talking with me today, because you just encouraged me to just go after it and invite people. I'm in ministry. I'm a leader, but that just was confirmation to me that I need to, go out and be more proactive and just listening to the voice of God and inviting people to church. And so you never know what's going to happen on your other side of your obedience. You just have to be willing for God to use you.
Yeah. And so after you just said all that, here's what I'm thinking, and I'm going to propose this question to the audience, because we have a lot of people who say, God revealed to me what my purpose is. God revealed to me what, you've called for me to do, because essentially we're looking for, that deeper fulfillment, which we should be. But are you willing to be inconvenienced in order to pursue your purpose? Because, something that is resonating with me as you're telling your story, I'm thinking about my own journey and the journey of other people that I've interviewed, friends, that I have that are, walking in their purpose. I would say they've all been inconvenienced in some way, shape, or form. And it goes back to your obedience being greater than your sacrifice, because there's always something on the other side of your obedience. And to me, that's like a qualifier. Because you could have very well said, no, I'm not taking this trash out. Holy Spirit, we can talk about it later. Like that. You could have had a whole different dialogue, with the Holy Spirit. And, sometimes we like to say that we can't hear from God, but really, are you ignoring the Holy Spirit? Like, is it really? There are sometimes I believe that God is silent, but are you willing to be inconvenienced? Right. And you kept giving the analogy of stepping out of the boat. If Peter never stepped outside of the boat, he was the only one. All of the other disciples, it didn't mean that they weren't believers, but they just were not trusting enough to step outside of the boat. He was inconvenienced in a way, because it's like, if I step outside of this boat and I'm not able to walk on this water, I might drown, right? But that trust factor and being able to look beyond just you and your circumstance, if he would have never done that, if he would have never had faith to do that, maybe that story would not have been written in the Bible to inspire us, right? Mm-hmm. And so by you being obedient to, take the trash out, you being obedient to invite, that other person to church, it's like you just said not too long ago, your obedience is all, tied to someone else's blessing and their breakthrough. And so I love the fact that you just said that, but it's like, are you willing to be inconvenienced? Because, you and your story and, leaving your career or your corporate job to pursue this, I'm sure you were inconvenienced more than just like, all right, I am getting ready to get married and I don't have a job to go through. That's a really different conversation to have with my fiance. How am I going to tell her this, eventually? And you could have stayed in that, but you didn't. And so I love, these parts of your story where you're being vulnerable and being transparent and being human and authentic to really say like, hey, I didn't have it, all together, but I trusted God, because there has to be a relationship. There has to be a trust factor between you and your creator in order for you to continue on with this. When you're pursuing entrepreneurship, when you're pursuing ministry, when you're pursuing your God-given talents, you don't have the full picture. You have the what. Like, that's it. And just that first step. And for me, you talked about perfectionism. And I was like, this is definitely my cousin. Jimmy's my cousin. I'm convinced that they were family because.
That's you, right? It must run in the family, huh?
Because for me, like, I can procrastinate because if I don't have like the full picture. So my perfectionism sometimes is clothed in procrastination or vice versa. Because I'm thinking like, okay, well, I gotta know all of A through Z. And then once I know A through Z, I gotta be able to have a backup plan just in case something falls through and it doesn't work out. But essentially, subconsciously, what I'm saying is, God, just in case you won't be my parachute, let me rely on what I know, I think, and I believe is going to work. And he's like, nah, daughter, it don't work like that. You have to trust me and trust me fully. During your journey, was there a moment, you know, you had to have the conversation with your wife and you're like, hey, you know, I'm doing this, or your fiance at the time and I'm doing this. Was there a moment where you wanted to like back the train up or like, you know, reach for that emergency parachute after you had taken a step?
Are you talking about like podcasting, or are you talking about journalism career? What specific?
Well, wait, with what you're doing now, right? Because you're doing the Stay in the Course, you know, podcast, and, you know, got over the hump, I will call it. And, you know, now you're fully walking in, you know, your purpose are on your way, you know. Are there any moments where you kind of feel like, whew, God, just give me another job? Or God, you know, am I really going to be able to continue on, you know, with this? Or did you have any of those moments where you were kind of like,
I mean, yeah. I mean, I feel like that's just a part of our life, right? There's always going to be something, something. There's always going to be something that challenges us, you know, to, you know, make our faith stronger. And, you know, the pandemic was, you know, the perfect storm for a lot of folks. And, you know, I'm not going to have this pity party with myself, but there were many times throughout the pandemic where I was, you know, obviously I had a lot of questions for God. You know, I was frustrated and I was upset because things weren't playing out the way I wanted them to play out. You know, yeah, of course I'm doing this podcast, but I'm like, God, I need a job. I need to pay my bills. Mm-hmm. I need to take care of my wife, God. Mm-hmm. We have great, you told us that you have great things in store for us, but where are they? Right. And so,
that's real.
You know, there were some challenging times, you know, from health issues to, you know, the lack of employment to just, you know, transition, all of those things, you know, happening at once, you know, it has you, you know, question God, but, you know, God, he's not surprised by what's happening around us. And once we, you know, take this pressure off ourselves and go to the throne and really seek his face, like he just begins to reveal things in his own timing to kind of to get us through. And, you know, so there was just many things that I can share on specifically that, you know, have challenged me throughout the course of podcasting and just really this last season.
So share one of them for us. So what would you say was a pivotal moment for you, you know, where you were in that feeling of like, you know, God, like I need a job, I need to provide for my wife, you know, what was the thing that switched or shifted for you to keep you going forward? And as you say, staying the course.
Well, you know, when you're like, the, you know, the providing your family as the man of the household, there's just a lot of pressure that comes with that. Right. And so, you know, you're doing all that you can do, but all that you can do is just not enough. You know, like you can't control what's happening around you, but what you can control is realizing that God is the source.
Yeah.
You know, He's not a source. He is the source. And so while, you know, this last year has been challenging, I had to be reminded, you know, who I belong to. And, you know, and so I had to, you know, stay rooted in my word. When things just didn't seem like they were ever going to get better, I just had to keep going back to the word. And I mean, you know, the lack of employment was, honestly, this past year was probably the least of my worries specifically. Obviously, my wife and, you know, people around me were like, man, you know, dude, you got to get a job. I'm like, and I get that. And I'm doing everything possible, you know, got my agent on the hunt, you know, interview after interview, but just in having confirmation that it was the right thing for me to do. So you just have to trust in, you know, God and go with the flow. But at the same time, there were health challenges that came with that, you know, stress and everything else in between. And in those seasons, it really just, God just provided like only he could provide, you know. I started consulting with churches as churches pivoted from in-person services to online because of my ministry background and TV background, and God provided then. And then, you know, as I was going through this season, for instance, you know, I was consulting with a church and they were preaching for several weeks on faith, right? And just God is just so intentional in the sense that during that season when this pastor and, you know, his team, they're preaching about faith, I had a health challenge where I had this thing where I had this unexplained bleeding for months. And, you know, at this time I didn't have any insurance. I wasn't working. So, you know, when you don't have insurance, you don't have the finances, you're trying to figure out how am I going to, you know, how can I afford to go to the doctor? Because I can't.
Yeah.
And, you know, in that season, you know, I go and I get checked out and doctors didn't know what was going on and had to go through all these different evaluations and ultimately a colonoscopy, you know, right at my 30th birthday. And, you know, like, I feel like everything is falling around me, you know, I don't have a job, my health is declining, what have you. But God still said, hey, I have this word for you, right? Mm-hmm. And this word is what sustained me. It built, you know, it encouraged me during this time. And one story specifically in the Bible that resonates with me more than others is the woman with the issue of blood, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And here I was, the man with the issue of blood. You know, I was bleeding. I didn't know why I was bleeding. But I knew that if I just had the faith to just rely on God and just touch the hem of his garment, that I could be made whole. And it's such a beautiful thing where it's like the stories that happened in the Bible, it seems like, okay, man, these happened more than 2,000 years ago. How could they be relatable to me in any way today, right?
Yeah.
And they're so relatable because in that story, while that woman was made whole, I also love how, you know, Jairus, you know, he's, you know, saying, hey, Jesus, I need you to heal my daughter. Mm-hmm, right.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so interesting about that is like, who do you have in your circle? Right. And so during this time, while, you know, we're going through hell financially and my health and all, we still had a community around us that were believing and praying and fasting with us to get through this season. And I remember when, you know, Jesus finally made it to Jairus's home, they had all this commotion happening outside, people wailing.
Yeah.
They're like, his daughter's dead. Why is Jesus even here? And Jesus is like, y'all got to go. If y'all don't have faith, y'all got to go.
Yes.
Right? You got to get out. And God only allowed the people that had faith
to stay
in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so for me in this season, what got me through is I had the right people in the room. And so I don't know what your situation is like right now. Maybe, you know, financially, you're trying to figure this out. You know, your health, doctors don't know what's going on. Look, man, let me tell you, you got to have faith and you have to have the right people in the room. I'm talking about my wife. She's a prayer warrior. You know, these pastors that, you know, I was consulting with, prayer warriors, you know, my mom, my dad, you know, praying, you know, believing with us. And you got to have those people in your circle for such a time like this, because guess what? There's going to be a time where that there's going to be a time where you're going to need someone to uplift you. You know, in ministry, I was pastoring other people, and it was always pouring out, and not a lot of filling up, because, sometimes you're pouring out so much that you need someone to pour into you.
And then people expect you to be Superman.
Exactly. And so in this season, God had to, like, while I wasn't working, you know, full time, you know, I was consulting and making money that way. God made me be still. Mm-hmm. And as I was still and working for the ministry in that capacity, consulting, God was able to fill me up. He was able to build my faith. He was able to take me to a place that I'd never been in before, because I literally thought I was dying. Wow. You know, I literally thought that I was going to die. There were so many negative thoughts. The enemy was trying to come at me, but I had to counter it with the word of God. And I can just remember walking around this pool by this lake and just speaking scripture, you know, biblical scripture over my life. You know, I will live, I will not die. Like, you know, just all these different things I was saying, just believing by faith that God would heal me, and God did heal me. And so, yeah, you know, the podcast, you know, this is something that I do to encourage people. And I share my story on the podcast, you know, in season 3, the first episode. And it's just amazing how God works and how he puts people in your life at the right time for a purpose, with a purpose. And I'm just so thankful for that. And I just, you know, this season and year of my life has been just so meaningful, and it has brought me so much peace and so much confirmation. And I have trust in God like never before. Like, stuff that, you know, I used to freak out about when it happened, I don't freak out about it anymore, because, you know, once you, it's like new level, new devil, right? And so when God brings you out of a situation, you get stronger. Your faith gets built up to a place that you never even imagined you could be in. So that's kind of been, you know, what it's been like for me. And I'm just thankful that God just pulled me through, and I can use my testimony to encourage someone else.
That was amazing. First of all, thank you for the word. For those tuning in, if y'all don't get anything else out of what this man just poured into us today, just know that you have to have faith, and you have the right people around you. You have to have the right people around you that have faith. And that is so critical. That is so critical. I'm grateful for you saying yes and giving God your yes to come onto our podcast and share with us your story, share with us your journey, and encourage, you know, those of us that are listening and tuning in, because that is so powerful. I'm speechless, because you could have gave up. You could have, you know, gave into your feelings, gave into your emotions, gave into what was happening in your body physically. You even said, I felt like I was going to die. You could have given into that, but you used your weapons. You used the word of God. You used prayer. You used your faith, right? You had on your full armor, essentially. And so I'm grateful that you didn't give up and that you continued on, because that led to us being able to have this conversation today. So I was going to ask you for one tip of advice, but I feel like you already gave it, man of God. I feel like you already gave it. You dropped so many.
I mean, my line is stay the course, stay the course.
Yes, stay the course. Three words. So go ahead and share for our audience before we wrap up. Where can our audience find you?
Yeah. So on all social media platforms, you can follow me at It's Jimmy on TV. So that's at ITS Jimmy on TV. And then also you can visit my website, JimmyJohnsonJr.com.
All right. Well, there you all have it. We're going to go ahead and wrap up the podcast here. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. Whatever platform you are listening on, whether it's Google Podcast or Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, we want you to click that subscribe button. We also want you to go ahead and check out Staying the Course podcast. Make sure that you follow Jimmy Johnson online. All of his information will be in the show notes below, and we will see you all in the next episode.